Originally published October 27th, 2009 by the History.com editors on the History Channel, this article entitled Christmas Truce of 1914 depicts a true epic event that occurred this same night through Christmas Day over 100 years ago. During World War I, on and around Christmas Day 1914, the sounds of rifles firing and shells exploding faded in a number of places along the Western Front in favor of holiday celebrations in the trenches and gestures of goodwill between enemies. But did you know? On December 7th, 1914, Pope Benedict XV suggested a temporary hiatus of that war for the celebration of Christmas. The warring countries refused to create any official ceasefire, but on Christmas, the soldiers in the trenches declared their own unofficial truce, starting on Christmas Eve. Many German and British troops sang Christmas carols to each other across the lines, and at certain points, the Allied soldiers even heard brass bands joining the Germans in their joyous singing. At the first light of dawn on Christmas Day, some German soldiers emerged from the trenches and approached the Allied lines across no man's land, calling out Merry Christmas in their enemies' native tongues. At first, the Allied soldiers feared it was a trick, but seeing the Germans unarmed, they climbed out of their trenches and shook hands with the enemy soldiers. The men exchanged presents of cigarettes and plum puddings and sang carols and songs. There was even a documented case of soldiers from opposing sides playing a good-natured game of soccer. Some soldiers used this short-lived ceasefire for a more somber task, the retrieval of the bodies of fellow combatants who had fallen within no man's land between the lines. The so-called Christmas Truce of 1914 came only 5 months after the outbreak of war in Europe and was one of the last examples of the outdated notion of chivalry between enemies and warfare. It was never repeated. Future attempts at holiday ceasefires were quashed by officers' threats of disciplinary action, but it served as heartening proof, however brief, that beneath the brutal clash of weapons, the soldiers' essential humanity endured. During World War I, the soldiers on the Western Front did not expect to celebrate on that battlefield, but even a world war could not destroy the Christmas spirit. This short video that you're about to see depicts that epic and unforgettable Christmas Eve and Christmas Day event. Let's take a look.
Jenkins, Oakley, Knight.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Schön, Herr. Schön.
Jim, come on!
Folks, in case you're wondering, Sainsbury's is one of the United Kingdom's largest food retailers, and they put that together to indicate just how special Christmas really is. Not even the world's strongest soldiers want to miss Christmas. My question is, have we? Let me give you a little brief introduction to where I'm from. I'm from about an hour south of here in a place that nobody has ever found. My brother and I can find it, nobody else can. And where we grew up, and young people, you got to listen loud and clear to this because this is actually true. Where we grew up, we had five TV stations, only five. There was no such thing as DVRs, VCRs, DVDs, CDs. At this time, there was nothing. Now, around Christmas time, where we grew up, there were three shows that you never wanted to miss. One was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It was wonderful. The other was Frosty the Snowman. And the other was my personal favorite, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Now, folks, and young ones and little ones, you have to understand that if we missed this show, you could not go back and watch it, see it. You couldn't even find it. And so in this time frame and in this era, we had one shot to see it. And if we missed it, if my mom and dad took us out eating or shopping or even decorating or visiting, we had to go back to school the next day and hear how all of our friends saw it, and we missed it. And let me tell you, in this time frame, if we missed those shows in many ways, it felt like we missed Christmas. My question tonight is, folks, have you felt this same way? Now let's fast forward, and you might have heard this, and many of you might say, ooh, I love that song. In the year 2000, famous country music recording artist Faith Hill recorded a song for the then-hit movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The song was entitled Where Are You Christmas? And its lyrics might be indicative of what some people might actually be feeling tonight. Now, Faith Hill asks these questions in her song. She says, where are you, Christmas? Why can't I find you? Why have you gone away? Have you felt this way? Have you felt as though somehow you might have just missed Christmas? Now, some people would say, I was too busy to appreciate it. Others would say, I was too sick to experience it. Some others might even say, I was just too down and depressed and unhappy to enjoy it. Let's talk about Zacharias, a man that's never really talked about at Christmas time, but I think he deserves some credit tonight. Zacharias is found and read about in Luke chapter 1, just might understand this. In Luke 1, verses 13 through 15, we find that an angel visited Zacharias to inform him that in his old age, he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a child. Now, Zacharias was told in verse 17 that his child, we know him as John the Baptist, would precede the coming Messiah. We know this event, and we celebrate tonight. It's called Christmas. You see, Zacharias, when he was visited by the angel, he didn't believe it. How could he? He was an old man. And to have a child seemed inconceivable and unbelievable to a man like Zacharias. And so he didn't believe it. And because of it, he was actually, by that visiting angel, stricken silent. Zacharias couldn't talk about it. Can you imagine what his unbelief caused him to miss? Now, when we found out that we were having a baby, it was exciting. You're the same way. We talk about it. We yell about it, and we laugh about it, and we share it. And that's what we do because we're excited about kids. Can you imagine that poor man not even being able to verbalize it? How difficult that must have been. Well, as soon as Zachariah's son, John the Baptist, was born and named, he was allowed to speak. And this is what he said, and we capture this tonight. This is our sermon text for tonight. It comes from Luke 1, 68 through 79. Imagine a man finally able to talk about what was coming. Here's what he says, starting with verse 68. He says, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to visit his people and has redeemed them. He's sending us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Someone to save us from our enemies, from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors, yes, to Abraham himself, by remembering his sacred promise to him, and by granting us the privilege of serving God fearlessly, freed from our enemies, and by making us holy and acceptable, ready to stand in his presence forever. And you, my little son, and of course he's talking to his son John the Baptist, he says, you shall be called the prophet of the glorious God, for you will prepare the way for the Messiah. You will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. All this will be because the mercy of our God is very tender and heaven's dawn is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and death's shadow and to guide us to the path of peace. You see, Zacharias was now able, through his belief, to proclaim the coming Messiah, the advent of Jesus. Zacharias was going to witness the very first Christmas. So often we create Christmas to, and it's something we do, we equate it to shopping and wrapping and baking and decorating, and if we're too busy or too sick or too tired or even too down to do any of this, we begin to feel as though maybe, just maybe, we might have missed Christmas. But Christmas, much to our surprise, is not only about shopping and wrapping and baking and decorating. Folks, Christmas isn't even about us. Christmas is about God sending the world a Savior, His Son. It's our belief in and our love for and our desire to live like our Savior down here so we can live with our Savior eternally up there. Now, we can feel like we miss Christmas, and that often happens when we miss the true reason for the season, who is Jesus. Following the birth of Jesus, Simeon, another guy we rarely talk about on Christmas Eve, we read about him in Luke 2:25-35. He was a man who was devout in his faith and belief, and he trusted the Holy Spirit's message that he would not die until he had seen the young Messiah. And then finally, he was able to hold that little child Jesus. Why? Because Simeon believed. Because Simeon was faithful, and because Simeon was a servant of God Almighty. Simeon believed, and he was an integral part of that first Christmas. Let us not forget Anna, the prophetess. Scripture talks about her. She was at the temple every day, faithfully praying and faithfully fasting. And she too, because of her belief and her devotion, she got to experience Jesus Christ. This was, in fact, the first Christmas. Folks, let's not miss what Christmas is. Christmas is God sending to the lost and unsaved world our greatest gift, His perfect, sinless Son, Jesus. And we cannot miss this. The question is, like Simeon and Anna and a forgiven Zacharias, my question tonight, folks, is this. Do you believe this? Do you understand this? You see, folks, you've just been invited to the world's biggest birthday party. And tonight you attend. Tonight we celebrate together. Tonight, tomorrow, you will be enjoying time together because one person, Jesus Christ, came to this world and He gave us a reason to celebrate. Tonight we choose to celebrate together. You know, Merriam-Webster's dictionary calls Christmas a church festival commemorating the birth of Jesus Christ. I think it was more than that. William Barclay defines Christmas as the greatest presence, E-N-C-E, in the world. I think it's more like that. Billy Graham says this. He says, Christmas represents a hope, a unique joy, because Christ the Savior is born. Well, tonight, we celebrate that. And tonight, folks, I pray that we will not miss that. We have quite an opportunity. An opportunity not only to believe in Jesus, but an opportunity tonight to meet Jesus. We don't miss Christmas when we meet Jesus. Tonight, that opportunity is here. It's an opportunity for each and every one of us that says, I want to celebrate. Tonight, it's an opportunity to say, I'm part of the party. And tonight, we are all invited. Praise God that He sent His Son. We don't miss Christmas if we meet Jesus. And folks, let me make sure you understand this. Meeting is believing. And believing is loving. Zacharias found this out. Loving is sharing. Simeon and Anna found that out. Sharing is serving. And those soldiers in the trenches in 1914, they found that out. And tonight we will learn that serving brings on true living. You will find that out. You see, when you choose to believe in Jesus, you will realize that never again will you feel like you miss Christmas. Because in your heart, you will love, you will serve, you will give. And every single person you meet and every single person you see will experience Christmas because inside of you is this glorious Jesus. That's what we're called to share tonight. The question is, are we sharing it? Isaiah 6, verse 14, it's amazing passage. Another prophetic messianic message that comes in Scripture. It says, a child shall be born to a virgin. and she shall call him Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Tonight, in this holy house, God is with us. Jesus said in John 14, 23, he says, I reveal myself to those who love and obey me. The Father will love them too, and we will come to them, and we will live with them. And when you choose to believe in Jesus, and when you choose to love Jesus, and when you choose to live for Jesus, you will say this. You will say on that night in that church, amidst all those people, I met Jesus. And you'll never forget it. And you'll cherish it. It is the greatest gift that we can have. Jesus is waiting. Revelation 3 verse 20 says this. Jesus says, look, I've been standing at the door and I'm constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. The first time you meet Jesus and for the rest of your time on this earth, when you believe in and love and live for Jesus, you will never again feel like that you ever missed Christmas. Tonight, that opportunity awaits us. You'll better understand. You'll appreciate God sending his Son to the world for all of us. According to theologian Irving Jensen, Christ's birth is, quote, the greatest event in world history. And when you meet Jesus, your spiritual rebirth will be the greatest event in your life history. But we'd be remiss if we didn't mention someone else, a man who didn't believe, a man who was evil in every way. Tonight we're introduced to evil King Herod. He's read about Matthew 2, 3 through 18. We don't spend a lot of time talking about him because, quite frankly, none of us really would have liked him. He was a bad guy. And in that passage, it's filled with words about King Herod, and it tells us that he was full of hate, jealousy, envy. He was full of bitterness. He was anxious. He was full of rage. And because he didn't believe, evil King Herod missed that first Christmas. And he subsequently died without ever believing in and loving and living for Jesus. And I tell you this tonight, folks, it can't happen to us. You can't let it happen to you. We can't let it happen to us. We can't. Now, folks, I don't come very much tonight. I wish I could. I'd give all of you a gift if I could. But there's one thing that I can bring you that's greater than any gift that I could buy you. And it is the gift of eternal life. It is the gift offered through Jesus Christ when we choose to believe in him and love him and live for him. You see, you can leave this church tonight and you can no longer be afraid of death, but you can embrace life because you know that when you leave this earth, you will live forever with your Savior in eternal life. It's the greatest gift I could ever give. And we give it tonight out of love. You see, for those gathered here tonight, this might have happened to you before. You may have missed him, and I hope you didn't. But folks, I know when I was a kid, I oftentimes missed him because I wasn't looking for him. I was looking for other things, but not him. It can't happen anymore. We can't keep missing him. And so tonight, I pray that every single person gathered here in this little church will meet him. John 3:17 says this, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Christmas is all about God sending his Son and sharing his Son and ultimately sacrificing his Son for us. Christmas is about meeting him, not missing him. It's about believing in him, receiving him. And like those soldiers in 1914 in the trenches, sharing and serving because of him. Tonight I pray that you will no longer miss Christmas. Tonight I pray that every single one gathered here tonight will meet Jesus. So I need to share a story. And if you say, tell me a good story, let me give you an amazing Christmas story. About 3 weeks ago, maybe it was longer, I lose track of time, I'm 48, I'm getting older. I was handed a sheet of paper by my wonderful and lovely pianist, Velma. And she gave me this piece of paper. She said, Chad, I found this. I think you would really like this. And I think you're going to like it so much that you're going to use it for Christmas Eve. And I said, great, give it to me. And I confess and I admit I didn't look at it until about 3 days ago. And so I just sat on my desk. I knew I was going to use it. I just didn't know when or how I was going to use it. Didn't read it. So as a pastor, we're always working on sermons. You just never sleep. And so the Holy Spirit had indicated this is where he wanted this thing to go. This sermon had taken three different detours, and it was all going to be about Faith Hills, Where Are You Christmas? And I got it in there, Faith, but it took a different turn. But I want to share something about this. As I was working on this sermon, I had stumbled upon this story, a story I was not familiar with, called Christmas Truce of 1914. And I thought, wow, if soldiers in the trenches that were battling and were foes, if they could come together and share together, then maybe, just maybe, we could come together and meet Jesus. And so I thought, this is where you want it to go, God. This is where it's going to go, God. And so I started working on this sermon. Keep in mind, never looked at what Velma had given me. And I sat down and I wrote the sermon, started practicing it 2 weeks out, was spending a lot of time with it. And about 3 days ago, I said, you know what? I told my wife, I said, I'd better read that. Here's what happened. The very sheet of paper that Velma gave me that I never looked at is about the history of the song Silent Night. I'm going to read this to you. And you're going to learn tonight that very sheet that Velma gave me ends with the story of the Christmas Truce of 1914. We didn't plan it. I never saw it. But God somehow made it happen because he wanted everybody to hear it. Here's what Velma gave me. Celebrating the 200th anniversary of Silent Night, the story behind the carol. On Christmas Eve of 1818, the young priest of St. Nicholas Parish Church in Obendorf faced disaster. The organ had been incapacitated by mice. The chance of fixing the instrument before the evening service was nil. Father Joseph Moore was not a man to just give up, however. He pulled out a poem that he had written several years before called Still Not. Moore took his poem to the schoolmaster and organist of a nearby town. His name, Franz Xaver Gruber. He asked that Gruber write a melody in a short amount of time to accompany the poem on guitar. In several hours, Gruber had the music done, and the carol was played for the first time that night at the Christmas Eve service. The song was not translated into English for another 50 years. Episcopalian Bishop John Freeman Young published the English translation that is most frequently sung today in 1859. The writing of the song is unique enough, but one other interesting factoid makes this carol especially special. In 1914, during the Christmas truce, the song was sung in French, English, and German simultaneously. It was apparently the one song that all the soldiers on both sides actually knew. We had no idea that a sermon and a song would cross paths so perfectly. Tonight you get to see how God works miraculously. Praise God for his son Jesus Christ. And with that said, tonight you have an opportunity to meet Jesus. Tonight I'm going to ask every person in this sanctuary, bow your heads, close your eyes, and join with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we don't have much to bring, but you brought everything. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Tonight I pray that we will long to meet Jesus. Tonight I pray that we will not leave this old church by missing Jesus, but rather that we would choose to believe in him and love him and live for him. And I pray, Father, tonight that every soul that is stirred and every heart that is moved, that we will choose to leave this church tonight with a relationship with your Son, Jesus. That's what we pray for tonight. Father, thank you for making Christmas Eve so special. And thank you for sending this lost and broken and hurting world a Son who can save to give us a chance to live. Father, I pray tonight that you'll stir in our hearts that opportunity to simply say this. Father, tonight I want to meet your Son, Jesus. I pray tonight that you'll walk with us down the path as we continue to love him, believe in him, and live for him. And I pray that you will strengthen every person that gathers here tonight as we choose to live our lives and sacrifice our lives for him. Thank you for Christmas Eve and for all that it means, and thank you for how you intertwine this story, a true story that happened so many years ago. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.